foremost, you have to care about the thing that you're building. You can't build something just for the sake of like, oh, people are going to come and it's going to make me a lot of money. You actually have to care, because if you don't care, it will show and it will probably be a lot harder to succeed in all likelihood.
To the Passion Behind the Art show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. What's up? Thank you for stopping by. You're in for a treat. Remember to check out my newest project, flyteddy.com. Flyteddy.com. Now, time for this week's episode.
All right, this is an episode that I've been looking forward to greatly. My friend, my fellow Jets fan, suffering Jets fan.
Oh, that again? Never get away from
it. I think he's like little by little disowning them, but we got to stay strong, brother. We got to stay strong.
It's lot by lot. I think I have already completely jumped off the bandwagon. I didn't want to start on a negative note, but here we are.
Inan Avital, the founder of Dapper Notes, like one of the most pristine brands out there. This dude like makes stationery look like pure gold. Welcome, brother.
Thank you. Pure gold. I mean, poof.
Dude.
That is.
Listen, man. You just got to call it as it sees, man. After all we've been through, you got to give folks their roses, man. That's all I'm about. Giving folks their roses.
I knew I came back on this podcast for a reason. I think I got my compliments. I can just leave now. We're good.
All right. So you just did a full pledge rebrand of Dapper Notes. I want to jump into that, but I know there's a part of the whole story that you kind of want to share before you talk about why the rebrand, because that's all I'm thinking about. But you kind of want to talk about like some of the backstory of Dapper Notes, why you've kind of been silent on some things. So the floor is yours. First of all, give people a little quick Wikipedia of what Dapper Notes is, or you can go to episode 163 to learn the full story.
Dapper Notes is the, what did you call it? The gold standard of stationery. There you go. Woo! There you have it.
Listen, summary. You're welcome, bro.
You did it for me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Dapper Notes are handmade notebooks. I love making things by hand. I love stationery, and I make notebooks that have really luxurious feel to them. They're made out of fabric. They're hand sewn. The entire thing is done by hand. And, you know, how you just talked about them a minute ago, that's kind of the point. Like, I make them so that people have notebooks that make them feel special. That's it. It's super simple. I don't make a lot of them. I have limited editions that I create, and I very often collaborate with other artists. And I have a subscription where people get them regularly. That's as best as I can sum it up. Wikipedia entry. If this was on Wikipedia, people would say this requires more citations.
You know, honestly, it's one of them things where just look at it. Just go to Dapper Notes and just look at it. DapperNotes.com.
There you go.
And just go and look. Like, it's very rare that you run into a brand, a company where the brand speaks for itself. Like, you're not trying to be an influencer. You're not trying, not even trying to like say build the Enon brand. Like, honestly, like, you gotta actually look for you to find you.
Well, yes, it's about the notebooks, because I'm making them because I like making them, and people are buying them because they enjoy having nice stationery. People buy notebooks. I see tweets regularly that, you know, I went to buy this notebook from the store because I know that this one is going to be the one that solves all my problems. I'm going to write all my special thoughts in it. And then I got it home and I was too afraid to write in it because it was too nice. Or it just went into my pile of a million other notebooks. It's a very common theme that I've seen on Twitter specifically. And people just are really into the idea of buying notebooks, but they're afraid to use them. So, like, having something that is, you know, a middle ground where it looks nice, it's small enough, but it's not a big deal to just use it. It's not that expensive. So the fact that it speaks for itself is a huge compliment. And I try my best to make it speak for itself by making videos. So I haven't been active, like you hinted before, in some spaces, which I'll get to in just a second. But there are plenty of videos that I show the process behind the making of notebooks, especially because I have no choice but to be a content creator these days, for the sake of Instagram and TikTok and all that jazz. So anytime I make a notebook now, I hit record a lot. I edit these videos very quickly. It's not a big deal for me to do the editing there because I have some experience. But on the other hand, I also have this podcast that I abandoned. So I'm just gonna take over this podcast for just a second, because when you contacted me and you said, "Hey, Enon, I saw you did new branding. Do you wanna come onto the show?" I was like, yes, and look at me, I'm a performer. Yes, and I said, yes, and can I potentially release this on my own podcast feed? Now, anybody who's listening through this regular feed of the show, don't get too excited about another podcast to subscribe to, because I literally have not released an episode in almost 2 years. 2 years. This was a really long time. The premise behind my podcast was just, for people who already like Dapper Notes, they care about the product, they like what goes into it. It's just a short episode tells the story of how every edition came to life. That's it. Sometimes it has, you know, mistakes that I haven't really talked about publicly, just like fun little things. And then I started doing collaborations more frequently. So instead of making my own notebooks with my own designs that I either found in a fabric shop, again, remember the covers are made out of fabric, I started reaching out to other artists and creating special designs with them. And with that, I said to myself, wouldn't it be fun? Spoiler alert, not so fun. Wouldn't it be fun to invite every single one of them after we've collaborated as a guest onto my podcast and then talk about how it came to be? Now, the thing is, I am terrible at scheduling podcast interviews with people. It's really hard, especially because artists generally are very, very busy, don't have a lot of time. I think Daryl can speak on this a little bit. So once I did a few of them, I kind of became so overwhelmed by the idea of having to bring on another guest and trying to schedule their time that I just didn't make the episode altogether. And then the next collaboration came along and I was too overwhelmed to book them on the podcast. And that episode didn't get made either. And then I just kind of let it fall by the wayside. So I was hoping to use this podcast right now, the one you're listening to, that if you're listening to it on my feed, then you already know it dropped on the Dapper Notes podcast feed as well, as just kind of an opportunity to speak about one particular thing that is huge for me in the world of Dapper Notes. That is the rebranding. That is the reason that you now reached out to speak to me today, and to give a little bit of the story behind how all that came to be, because it's huge. It's a massive effort. And to tell you the truth, it's so rewarding and reaffirming that you reached out to me. Like, anytime someone does something with like a redesign or whatever it is, it's hard to see what goes on behind the scene there. And if you don't get a lot of feedback, which quite frankly, I didn't get that much until I sent out a survey and actually reached out to people to hear, I didn't get that much feedback about the work that I was doing and all the rebranding. And the fact that you came to me and said, "Hey, you know, I noticed you did this thing. It's cool. Let's talk about it again. Come back to my podcast." Huge honor. Let's discuss this. It kind of like made my, I think it's called imposter syndrome, where I was like, do I know what I'm doing? Did I do the right thing? It's like, no, that's an affirmation. You're doing great. You're doing great. And so, like, I'm so glad to be here, and I'm so glad to be able to talk about this. Thank you.
Dude, it's my pleasure, man. Listen, people that don't even know you and know about my podcast, listen to your episode, went to check out your stuff. And they were like, yo, this is just beautiful. And that's some of the things that I want to tap into, right? But before I tap into that, let's talk about this rebrand. Like, Dapper Notes wasn't, like, okay before the rebrand. It wasn't, like, you know, decent. Like, it was already pristine in my book and in a lot of people's book. And you weren't getting, like, you know, you were getting A-listers when it comes to designers and artists to collaborate with. So why the rebrand?
That's a really good question. The truth is, you asked why rebrand, and there actually wasn't a brand at all in the first place. It was literally just the branding. Because when I started Dapper Notes, it was a kickoff of like a side project that had nothing to do with stationery. And I did it kind of as like an afterthought because I wanted to add something to my arsenal, whatever I was doing at the time. Wasn't even called Dapper Notes. I eventually gave it that name, but all along, the visual identity that I was using for it, for the packaging, for the website, was actually my personal logo, my personal brand. It was like a EA monogram or ambigram that was also a monogram that was used for the packaging and the website. I never really did any thought about the messaging because I didn't care. I was just making the notebooks. I enjoyed making them. People liked them. And it was really all about the products. And honestly, it could have gone on forever with just that because it was just doing fine. And the main reason why I wanted to do that shift is because I wanted to be less about me. The branding before was my branding. I wanted to be less about me. I wanted to be about what this product is so that people can come right away and immediately understand this is stationary. I connect with it. It's something that I can use that's analog and so on and so forth. And I also wanted to slightly shift what I was doing from a business perspective and not only be making my own editions as part of my Bookhead Club, but also start working with brands to make notebooks for them. I've been making a lot of custom editions. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I'm going to already jump ahead for a second, after I did the rebrand, one of the things that changed a lot is the amount of people that started reaching out to me and saying, hey, I would love to make a custom edition with you for my company or whatever it is, because I made that apparent in how I presented the product.
So where did you kind of, because like not everybody thinks like this, right? There's so many things that I noticed that you've done with, you're able to do with Dapper Notes that, you know, stands out to me. One, you're able to build a brand. Even though you say it wasn't a brand, it probably wasn't intentional, but it was a brand. Like, you were able to do that without yourself. And that's an art in itself, especially in this day and age. Like, that's little by little becoming a lost art where people are able to build brands outside of the whole idea of a personal brand. You know what I mean? A lot of times, like, when I think about, like, brands, we got the ones that stand the test of time, but there was and there still is this movement of, which I don't have a problem with, we know content is king, we know content creation, but there's this idea of building a personal brand to then sell all the other products that I want to build.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? In the past, it was the opposite way around. Like, you would even, there were people like, say, for example, Phil Knight, Nike. Like, you're just now really learning that a lot about Phil Knight, especially since he came out with his memoir or whatever. But it was always about the brand, which is Nike. Like, nobody thought about Coca-Cola, like all these different things. It's like the company. And I feel like you are bootstrapping the mess out of Dapper Notes. Like, this is just you building it from the ground up without building this large following on Enon or anything. It's just straight up about a product. And you are, your goal is to even more pull out Enon from it and build this brand even more. Like, speak to some of that, because I feel like that is an art in itself, because a lot of people are caught between two worlds of, like, let me build my personal brand, let me build me that people can connect to me, which in turn connect to my brand. And you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
It does make sense. And you are mostly correct. Part of what I still try to do is I want to have myself in the brand because I connect with the people who buy them. Mm-hmm. I connect with them one-on-one. People email me regularly and I have conversations with them for fun, not customer service conversations, just chats about stationery, about design. I write personal notes in all the orders that are signed. Enon, my name is there. So I'm not exactly trying to remove myself completely with the brand. However, you are right in that I don't want the brand to be about me. Because that was the important shift that needed to happen. Instead of the brand being, hey, this is Enon's notebook, it's now, here is a nice notebook that happens to be made by Enon. But that's an afterthought instead of being the front and center. And that shift also, because I haven't ever really thought about the marketing perspective of Vapor Notes at all until I was working on the rebranding, the shift was, as you know, it should be, it's about the customer and what they would get out of the product as opposed to the maker and what goes into the product. And that shift, I think, was very important for me to convey, so that it's no longer about me trying to sell a thing. It's like, here's the thing. It might fit into your life.
So what sparked, like, what was the moment, if there was, or was this just something that was just percolating in your mind and you finally pulled the trigger? What sparked the time for the rebrand?
I have a short answer and a long answer.
Let's go.
Short answer is one word. Donuts. The long answer is, I was driving through a brand new drive-thru of Krispy Kreme donuts that just opened up not far from where I live. Of course, I had to go to the drive-thru. At the time, they were also giving away, you know, free donuts if you had the COVID vaccine certificate. Great. And I went there through the first time. I've never actually been to a Krispy Kreme donuts store ever. I've had their stuff, you know, off the shelf in boxes. And they hand me the donuts in these bags that are kind of old-fashioned, two-color print design. It was like red and green on a white bag. So, like, really simply printed, nothing very fancy. But the way that they put it together, the pattern, the copywriting, the logo, it just was so timeless. And I was like, thinking to myself, like right away, I was thinking to myself, how can I apply this to Dapper Notes? Because stationery, analog goods, the point of them, in a way, it's not the only point, but the point of them is to have something that is timeless, something that you can always do, no matter what. You lose your electricity, you can still write in your notebook, and you can still journal. You can still take notes, you can still have a shopping list. And hopefully, if you're writing important thoughts, it will live on forever and your great-grandkids will be able to see it, even if, you know, computer systems change and file formats are no longer working on computers 50 years from now. You still have the notebook. You still have a piece of paper that works forever. It's timeless. And this donut bag, this bag that was disgusting and dirty and had like a little bit of a Krispy Kreme that... the cream inside, what was it called? The Boston cream was like oozing on the bag. I still saved it with all its disgustingness. And it just sat on my desk for a short while until Manny Aguilera, who did an edition with me a year ago that was pizza themed, he actually reached out of the blue and was like, hey, Enon, would you like to have a mascot for Dapper Notes? And I was like, good thing you asked, because I was just thinking, I want to bring a different vibe into the scene. And that's how it started, with donuts and a friend.
Wow. Like, I mean, honestly, I love that story. And feel like at some point we all go through that moment where we're like inspired by something, that brands that have stand a test of time. When we, like, I got the opportunity to be in the room with the son of the founder of Chick-fil-A. I got the opportunity to be in the room. He did like a private talk. for our staff. And it was just so inspiring, right? Just hearing this man talk about his father and the different things and how much like the essence of the brand is built in them, their personality, who they are. It's not just, you know, okay, great marketing and great stuff. The dude came in the room with a name tag that says still in training and his name on it. And I was just like, it's corny, it's cliche, but like when you do stuff like this for a living, like those things stand out to you because it's all a part of the brand. You know what I mean? So I think that's kind of like the moment with you looking at the bag and seeing these different little details that people don't even pay attention to. But when you're trying, especially when you're trying to build something yourself, you kind of notice these things.
Yeah. And the worst sinners of not doing that are people like us who are designers who have the worst time designing for ourselves. We're terrible at that. We never think about ourselves and how we create whatever branding we need, because we're always thinking about the people we're doing work for. And to have something kind of like smack you in the face and say, dude, pay attention to yourself for a second, do something. Again, it wasn't necessary for me, like you said, to make a new branding, to create branding. I was cruising just fine, but the opportunity came along and I just like got basically a mirror thrown into my face. And I was like, all right, let's ride this wave. Let's see where it goes.
All right, so on that note, like, it's clear Krispy Kreme kind of inspired the rebrand. And
that's right.
But what are some of the things that, or who are some of the people that inspired this, the feel and the, just the attention to details and the, just inspires Dapper Notes or inspires you, the creator? What are some of the people? Who are some of the people? What are some of the things that kind of inspired the details and everything that consists of Dapper Notes?
It's a good question. You know, I hope that Krispy Kreme, who inspired, one day we'll do a collab together. We'll see. I'm still rooting for that. But when I was working on the branding, I did not reach out to the Krispy Kreme designers. I did instead. I have a daily chat that started when COVID began with a bunch of designers, where every day around noontime, my time, we get together and we talk and just kind of co-work together. And through conversation with this group of designers, they helped me reaffirmed the idea and helped push me towards just getting this thing done and workshopping whatever visual stuff I was working on as it came along. And the truth is, at first, I didn't use any visual references. I was just like, let me see if I can try to create this feeling of timelessness on my own. And the truth is, I couldn't. I was terrible at it. I sketched a bajillion different logo designs. None of them looked good. None of them were okay. But I had a sense of where I wanted to go. And my biggest inspiration for the visual side of the branding came from the Chutzpah Sisters, who create really strong visual identities for brands. And when I saw the work that they were doing, I was digging deeply into how they built those systems. And then eventually, after exploring all of their work and exploring all of their offerings, got some of their fonts and used one of the fonts to create the basis of what would become the Dapper Notes logo.
That's cool. And honestly, some of my, I don't talk to them as much as I anymore. I need to get back up on that, but some of my favorite people.
Yeah, they do brilliant work. And I am so happy that the people who inspired me with the visual direction make font families, typefaces, whatever they're called. Don't ask me about the difference between typefaces, font families, and that. I will not be able to answer. I can know how to use them, but they make these things that then I can use as a designer to create my own brand. And that is huge and so nice that they basically give me this crutch if you can't do it yourself, if you don't have the budget to hire us, which I don't, then I can use this tool. I can just buy this font from them and then use it for some of my branding. So what ended up happening is two things. First thing is, I used their font called Beal, which is very funky because I wanted to have this like a little bit of a retro vibe to lay out what I thought the Dapper Notes logo should look like. But just using the font itself wasn't good enough. And I am not very good at refining vectors for letters. So I hit up Mark Aneso, who is a brilliant typeface designer and letterer. He does both of those things really well. He has a bunch of font families himself. And he also does lettering for major brands. And he helped me use the basis of the Beal font by the Chutzpah sisters to create what is basically the Dapper Notes logo now. Like, he literally just took the idea, ran with it, and perfected it. Second thing is, in the end, after I played around with all the different visual components and what fonts I would use and what things match and what colors, the main font that I use for body text, which is not headlines, so everything else, is another font by Chutzpah called Santa Ana. So we got Chutzpah all over this rebranding or branding project for Dapper Notes. And the end result is so satisfying to me. And I feel like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. And in essence, I didn't even really do that much work because I was able to take someone else's work, apply it to my own, and make the best use of it.
That's, I mean, first of all, you said Mark. When you said Mark's name, a very joyful smile came on my face. Because Mark, outside of just being extremely talented, right? He is one of the most funniest people. Like, he is entertaining. And we've talked, we know each other through online. So I got to meet him this year in the flesh at Creative South. And he's just as entertaining, just as, you know, goofy, just as funny in person as he is online. And it just brought,
if not more,
like in the flesh, it's just full blown Mark. And, but when you said his name, joy just came to my face. And I just love the fact that, like, these are all people that's in the community. And
100%.
And that spoke to me. I'm not sure if that was intentional or not.
Well, it's intentional in a way that, like, I already knew Mark, so I knew I could reach out to him, but also I knew that I shouldn't try to force myself to do something that I can't do. And instead reach out to the people who can do that, who I admire, who are amazing at what they do, and just have them help out. It's very hard to reach out to people and ask for a helping hand. I personally still can't imagine having someone help me make my notebooks. I'm still doing it 100% by myself. But for these other things around the brand, I was like, it's a no-brainer for me to reach out to Mark because I know I hand him this project, he would be able to nail it. And when I tell you that I gave him the most esoteric, abstract feedback about like the shape of the letters and how they felt in this curve, he was like, I gotcha. And he just fixed it and made it perfect. And I cannot believe that people with that kind of capability exist to just create such balance and beauty out of nothing. It's incredible. It's really humbling.
I love that. So I'm trying to get I did not hook up. So for those, it don't as Inan says, it doesn't always go as planned. They're not plug my camera in. So it just died on me. So hopefully it will be up in time. I hooked it up. So hopefully it'll be up back up. But that's no worries. Let's keep going. I'm enjoying just hearing you talk. Like, you need to get on one of them. You have a podcast, but you need to get on one of the apps that put people to sleep or something. Like, it's very, very.
That is either an amazing compliment, it is a compliment, or a serious diss.
But we're going to take it as a compliment, though, because it's meant to be.
Oh, hell yeah.
Meant to be 100% compliment, for sure. There we go. I appreciate that. So we're going to roll with this until You're the one.
Oh, now that I can see you, I'm taking the ASMR to a higher level. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So we kind of went through some of the back end of like how it got created, why you created it, who inspired you, and stuff like that. But I want to know, because one of the things that fascinate me the most about like what you do and your brand is that you still do the unscalable. Like you're still making everything yourself by hand. You're still doing a lot of the personal, the things that you do when you're small. And I know you feel like you're small. And I know you say you're small. But you're not that small. You know what I mean? You're not that small. No, you're being very...
Yeah, I'm 5'10". Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Not that small.
Dapper Notes is known, and it's known for its pristine. But I want to... Where did all that come from? Like, the attention to details, the need to focus on quality. We all want to have quality. I don't think there's anyone that wants to have quality, that doesn't want to have quality. But not everyone is... execution is on point. Like, where is all of that coming from?
I mean, a lot of people just find the spaces where they can compromise, because of course nothing will ever be perfect, and people will compromise a lot more for whatever goals they have. And that's the key word, goals. My goal for Dapper Notes is not to scale infinitely. Like, I don't want to scale. Sure, I'm trying to make more custom editions for people so I can make more notebooks. And yes, that does bring in money. Sure. But why do I make Dapper Notes? Why do I create these notebooks? Because for me, it's a pleasure. It's a meditative part of my day. It's the arts and crafts hobby that brings me personally peace. And then I get to also enjoy it doubly so, because I get to give it to people, sell it to people who also enjoy it and then tell me how much they love it. I'm basically creating a system where I benefit twice from giving myself joy and others joy. And if I weren't making the notebooks myself, there'd be almost no point to making Dapper Notes. I make them because I make them. And that's why I'm not trying to scale. So since that is not my goal, I'm able to give myself the time and energy to focus on those details. The funniest thing is, so I have a bunch of notebooks here that I just finished making for the next edition. I'm not going to talk about them too much because it's not for a little bit till they're coming out. But I have a considerable pile here that I'm showing to the camera right now and no one else can see. Camera's working, by the way. It's a big pile. It's a big pile, and it's a decent percent of the notebooks that I've made for this edition. And these notebooks that I just showed you are all the rejects. Now, my kids will very often come into here and say, hey, can I have one of them? I always give them one of the rejects. And then they try to figure out what's wrong with them. And they'll start looking through the notebook and they'll start flipping it around and they can't figure out what's wrong with them. Why? Because I have certain things that I try to be extremely perfect about. And I'd rather not sell a notebook that's not perfect than sell one that's somewhat off. Because if someone's paying $15 for a single notebook, it better be really, really good. And I can only do that because I care. I care about having made something that then someone will get and see, oh, this is amazing. And if there was something off about it, they wouldn't get to feel that nice feeling. And that's why I'm a little, you know.
I think that makes sense, though. And the funny thing is, like, I'm going to tell you this right now. You're going to be constantly fighting against that, because one of the biggest reasons how people grow in business is doing the unscalable. It's doing the things that it's doing the things that you probably take up a lot of time, take up a lot of probably even more money. But that's one of the things that help a lot of brands and stuff like that grow.
Right. But since I don't want to grow for the sake of growth, Like, I'm not looking to make this my full-time job. I thankfully have a full-time job, has nothing to do with notebook making. And for me, the notebook making is my side hustle. My, I wouldn't even call it a hustle. It's my side activity, my hobby. And if someone has growth goals for their hobby, then once it grows, it's no longer a hobby. And if they want that thing to stay their hobby, then you don't grow infinitely. You set yourself a limit. And here's actually a really good measurable point for me in how I can still grow, but with limits. So every other month, I create a new edition. That's part of my Bookhead Club subscription. And I know that I can make up to X amount per month. If I had that many subscribers, which I don't, I'm about halfway there. Over the years, I've gone about halfway to where that goal is. Then all I would have is 100% of the notebooks would go towards subscribers, and then I would have none as general sale. And then I would have reached my ceiling and been content. I am content right now. But there is still that room for growth where I know I can make up to a certain amount. I can grow up to this amount of subscribers. And that's that. Outside of that, couldn't care less. Happy to keep on making these in the regular cadence that I'm making them. It's weird. It's unusual. I recognize for a business to not operate as a traditional business would. But that's because the goals of it are not what a traditional business would have as its goals. It's a personal project more than anything. You know what I mean?
No, I honestly, I think it's just a different model. I mean, that's what I believe. And I think that's a part of the magic, too, because you still could give that attention that's needed.
Right.
Because you talked about, like, the emails that you, conversations that you have with people, the notes that you get to write, all these different things. Like, you can do that. And I feel like that's part of the magic of what you do.
I certainly hope so. Yeah, I mean, the conversations that I have with people, I won't reveal anybody's names, but very often people will message me specifically to say, I enjoy you speaking about something like this. I enjoy having had this, because they've seen the behind the scenes of how things were made. I enjoy having had witnessed how this thing was made and then being able to get it and then also conversed with you as a person. People like supporting other people, and people like to have something meaningful in their purchases as opposed to just being a part of nameless consumerism, I guess. I'm kind of just spitballing here. But
I think, though, that's needed, because I feel like we still need. And I think that's the part that your brand represents. We still need the opportunity to attach ourselves to something.
Yeah. And it's really hard to succeed there. Okay, so let me give you another example, and I totally agree with you, of a business who did really, really well in this space, but because there's so much competition, they just couldn't sustain it. That's a small shop in New York City known by CW Pencils. I don't know if you're familiar with them. Yes. Okay. CW stands for Caroline Weaver, who was the proprietor of that shop. And they built an incredible business with the same type of personal connection model. Now, they had to grow because they had a retail space to pay for. They had rent. They had employees. And selling one pencil at a time only brings you so far. And eventually, they had a really good long run. She published a couple of books, released a couple of their own editions as well, aside from selling other people's stationery. And eventually, unfortunately, they closed, which is very sad. And part of that is because it's really hard to sustain that as a business model. So if you come to say to me, you said to me, Ina, don't you want to grow? If I had to shift to that, I think I would ultimately also have to shutter my doors, because it's not sustainable to maintain that personal feeling, that handmade attention to detail feeling, if you're just growing. They contradict one another. And I don't want to be there as long as I don't have to.
One of the things, though, I just think, as you said, and I know you said it before, it's just a different value system. I mean, they are goals. They are growth goals, but they're just not necessarily numerical.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well said. Yeah.
And I appreciate that because I just appreciate the ability to go the opposite direction. Like, I appreciate that. I appreciate the ability to focus on quality, go the opposite direction in terms of, like, business-wise. You know what business is. Like, it's either sell more, charge more. Sell more, charge more. Like, most, and the ones who do both, you know what I mean? A lot of people are trying to aim to do both, but there are a lot of businesses are either on the other side. It's either sell, make more sales, or charge more for it. But I feel like you're in that nice sweet spot where you can do both if you want to, but you don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, case in point, I've been doing this for 6.5 years now. I haven't changed the price, not once, right? Mm. We're going through crazy inflation. My supplies are costing me more. Still the same price. I mean, I don't know how much longer this will be for, but at least I don't have to. And the reason is because I am in a position of great privilege where I don't have to grow the business to support my family.
Mm.
That's the key point, I think. This is a side hustle. It's something that it's a hobby, and I'm doing this for pleasure that, yes, is bringing me some money, but I'm not reliant on it as my main source of income. So if I were, I imagine I would be in an entirely different position. I would probably have other people making notebooks for me. The quality wouldn't be as perfect as it were, and the whole story would be a different one. We wouldn't have this conversation as we are today. So because of the nature of how I'm working on this, I'm able to let it be the way it has to be. And I don't have to let it change. And I hope, I really hope, and this is just kind of keeping my fingers crossed really tightly, it can remain this way. Because so far, so good.
I just love that. Because, like, that space that you work in where, like, I do this because I want to. I don't have to. It's not like the source of income for my family. I work in that space. I live in that space. And I feel like a lot of things right now are contradicting to that space in a sense of, okay, build this thing that you can quit your 9-to-5 or quit your day job to go do this thing full time. And I love when I get people on the podcast like you, where it's like, nah, actually, I don't really have to do that. Like, it could stay where it's at. And I'm good with that. A lot of people didn't even know that. Like, I've been working a 9-to-5 my entire time building anything I've ever done. And I was good with that.
Yeah. Same. But some people, I mean, we are in our unique positions because we are who we are. And there are other people who just have either horrible 9-to-5. I mean, there's a bajillion reasons. I can't even imagine to list them mm-hmm. all. But true. We are in unique positions, period. And that is,
I think the message is, though, like, and I think the bigger message is that, like, there are different ways. There are different perspectives. There are different ways to go about this. Like, you can do what you love and it look different for different people. Not this one thing to where, like, if I haven't quit my 9-to-5 and start this doing this thing, I have not done what I've loved. I love.
Another way to maybe look at it is, when people try to imagine their future and what success can look like, it's not just the definitions that you may have been spoon-fed from TikTok or wherever else you're spending your time. Success can look like many different things. And here is one other way for you to see success come to you. Mm. So it might be for the person listening right now, and it might not be, but at least you have another perspective. And I think that is quite healthy. That is a, if there's anything coming from this, that is a quite a good message. I agree with you 100%.
Because yeah. Like for me, I have no, like I have a day job and I have no desire to quit.
Yeah.
Like, I have no desire to leave, but I still love my side hustle.
That's beautiful. That's great.
You, and I know you could attest to that.
Yeah.
You could attest to that.
I'm in the same space. 100%.
Dude, if there's like three things people want to build a brand, what are three things that you would tell them to pay attention to or try to acquire, or, you know, just three things, three major tips that helped you build a quality brand, not just a brand, but a quality one that like people see your photos, like they look like notebook gold. So
you bring it back full circle. That's wow. I knew I came back on this podcast for a reason. You're so good at this. That's a really good question and really tough. And not something that I can just be like, oh, I got an answer prepared for that. But if I had to just bring it from my own personal lens of what I've experienced in building my own thing, because that's really the only lens I have, I would say first and foremost, you have to care about the thing that you're building. You can't build something just for the sake of like, oh, people are going to come and it's going to make me a lot of money. You actually have to care, because if you don't care, it will show and it will probably be a lot harder to succeed in all likelihood. If you care, it'll keep on driving you. Even when you're not growing, even when you're feeling like you're failing, the fact that you care about whatever you're building will keep you coming back to work and work and work on it. And eventually you'll probably get to a place where you're seeing what you're hoping to see. So caring, number one. Number two, don't copy other people. Don't just do something that someone else is doing just because you're like, oh, I could totally also do this. Try to make it your own in some way. And if you make it your own and it's able to, you're able to show that it's different enough, that it's unique, then you're more likely to stand out. Case in point, nobody else is making fabric cupboard notebooks. There are a bajillion actual figure other stationery companies in the world, and nobody's making fabric ones like this. That's unique. People notice it, and that drives at least some attention, and hopefully it also drives people to want to connect and enjoy it and so on. As for the third thing, I don't really have anything good, so let's go to the branding that I've been working on. It took me 6 years of having a brand without branding comes to show that you can just focus on building the thing and not the stuff around the thing. This is a terrible sentence. But if you just build what you're hoping to build and you're not worrying about, oh, is it going to look amazing? Or do I have the right logo for it? Just make a thing that's good, that it in itself will market itself. And you'll realize that you don't really need to have really strong branding. You can get there eventually and spend the time on it when you have the time for it, which is kind of what I did. But starting right off the bat with everything being checked off as being in the top shape as much as possible, it's probably not necessary. Because as long as you're developing the thing that you're working on, everything else will be able to come in its own time.
Dude, I'm not trying to keep you. I have so much. There's, when you speak, other things just swirl in my head, and I have
keep to keep on going. I'm happy to keep on pulling stuff out of thin air. So don't pull back. Let's go. Long as you want.
So you have a subscription, and you also, you know, sell. How is just is the subscription base that you've built? Is this just straight up people that love your books, so they just decided to subscribe? And if so, did they fall in love just by the amazing photos that you take?
That's kind of like the way you ask this question is like going to a random couple in the park and saying, did you fall in luck because love because of the color of their eyes? Man, I don't know. I don't know.
See, it's fine. It's not a great question. And it's fine to give me the answer.
But like, I do kind of know because I, like I mentioned about five times already, I do talk to my customers very often. And I know why some of them have found me in the first place. Very frequently, it's word of mouth, people posting on Facebook groups and other spaces. A lot of it has to do with people being able to see what goes into it. Mm. And that's the videos that I create. If I just sold this in the vacuum, which at first I was doing, and people didn't know what really it meant and what it took to make this and why it costs $15 for a single notebook that's pocket-sized, then there was that piece missing. And as soon as people can now regularly see, oh, he glues the thing and he designs the thing and he cuts and oh, so much goes into it. Seeing the craft, I think, is something that draws new people in. Why people stay subscribed, they like supporting independent artists, they love the stationery, they like fabric notebooks, they love getting new and unexpected designs from different collaborations all the time. I'm the maker, not the subscriber. So it is hard for me to answer this question because it's largely an unknown, but I'm honestly thankful that there are those people who see the work and they're like, oh yeah, I want that. I want to subscribe. And yes, I'll stay subscribed and I'll keep on getting them again and again. It's the best feeling in the world. It's so nice. Why they do it? Hey, if you're listening right now and you want to tell me why, send me an email. You can also CC Daryl and let him know too, because I would love to know. Please.
I mean, I know you know this. Like, there's the obvious thing. It's a notebook. People always need notebooks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we both know there's more than just that. Why they stay subscribed? You know what I mean? And I'm fascinated by that. Because also, it is a notebook. You know what I mean? So it's like those two things contradict, but also fuel each other, if that makes sense.
I mean, some people also like to collect pretty things.
So and I'm one of those people.
There you go. I'm sure you're wearing a different hat than I saw you wearing last time. You might be a hat collector for all I know. So if someone is into stationery, I know plenty of people who collect other stationery brands or pencils from certain pencil brands. And that's very common. And I know that some people who buy my notebooks like collecting them. That is definitely a good reason. Many people use them, which is what I hope they would do with them. And people like to use them because they feel good. When you go to a meeting and you sit down and you're taking notes in this thing, it feels nice. It's not just like a throwaway. Also, the paper that I use in these notebooks is one of the thickest type of paper that is suitable for a pocket notebook. So people who like to use fountain pens or markers find it a lot better for something that's pocket size like this.
It's just the details, man. Yeah. Like anyone who uses notebooks knows how valuable it is to have a paper that doesn't bleed. Oh.
Yes, that for me, having the right kind of paper was critical. I don't even make the paper myself. I have someone who prints them for me. It comes to me pre-cut, so I can just make the notebooks. But making sure that paper is the right one was one of the first things that I figured out when I started building this 6.5 years ago.
There it is, Dapper Notes. One of the most pristine brands. And I'm happy for you, bro. I'm happy. I'm happy for everything that you're doing, your success in this. And, you know, wherever it goes from here, like I just want the best, because I love when people put their heart and soul in something and they see results from it, because you don't always do. Like, we all know, like, you have more L's than wins. So when you do get them, it's like it means something.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate you also not just showing people Dapper Notes, but also bringing me a collaborator. I don't know if we've mentioned this yet. I think I told you at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Catherine, I believe she pronounced the last name Marion. If I said it wrong, please don't come for me. But found out about Depper Notes through your podcast last time I was on. And we made an amazing notebook together with the rooster that people still mention to me regularly till this day. Incredible.
That's awesome.
Oh, here's anytime another fun stuff fact.
Like that. That's awesome.
Let's roll this into another thing. So at the time, as I was making the notebook, I was listening to a song called Dean Town by the band Wolfpack. It's a song that is just, it's primarily a bass line that just takes the lead. There are no lyrics. And I was really into it. And what I do very often when I make notebooks, when I have to name the edition, usually I'll take a name of a song that I've been listening to recently, and that will be the name. That's just what I do. Makes naming so much easier. So I did that with this notebook, with D-Town. And not so long after that, I started the process of doing the rebranding. And as I was doing research into the band, all this kind of like happening at the same time, so I can't give you an exact timeline, but I found out that Wolfpack, the band, had commissioned a typeface of whole family to be designed for them by Ono Typeco, it's the name of the foundry, and they made it available to the public. You could buy it and make use of it for your own projects. I fell in love with that font. It's beautiful, like a really nice, somewhat timeless kind of feeling. And that is what now gets used as the headline font, the title font on the new Dapper Notes branding. And in many ways, you're the beginning of this thread. So it's coming around full circle over here in a really nice way. And I'm glad that I was able to come back to talk to you about this rebrand, because you're, without question, a big part of it.
I mean, it's very generous of you. I mean, very generous, very generous. And I want to hold on to that. But like, dude, anything that when it comes to associating what you're doing and you, I'm always down for. You know what I mean? As I said, like, we are from different worlds, but we are from the same world. You know what I mean? So I totally feel you. You know what I mean? We have a lot of similarities and a lot of differences, but I think that's what makes this kind of super cool.
I agree. And I appreciate you very much. Thank you. Thank you for reaching out to me. I feel like the luckiest boy in the world. So I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on and letting me talk about the branding so that I can also share it with people outside of your circle. And hopefully, maybe this will just get me to hit record again on my own podcast. We'll see. TBD. And to all of Daryl's listeners, don't get too excited about my podcast again. It's just about how notebooks get made. Extremely niche, extremely nerdy. But if you're that kind of nerd, join me.
Let's do it. So where can people go to find you and learn more about you?
Dapper Notes. Anywhere. On Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, even TikTok now, although I don't post much there, .com. Just Google Dapper Notes or Bing Dapper Notes. You'll find
it. Let me find out you on there dancing on TikTok.
I wouldn't mind, but dancing is probably one of the things I am known for doing horribly. It's one of my lowest rank skills in life is dancing. I can bop my head, and that's about it. And bopping heads doesn't go very far on TikTok as far as I've seen. So I'm staying out of that part of it for now.
I love it. Dude, this has been amazing. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Over and out. We did it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing to the next level. I'll be doing more of these where I talk to specific individuals that I know that are well experienced in a specific area to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review, and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow, and it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion behind the art. Be blessed.